Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, October 27th. Norman to hold Hogan Park Forum. Councilman says, we need to try and make it work out for Midland. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Hogan Park is in Councilman John Norman's district, and he told the Reporter Telegram on Wednesday that there needs to be a community forum on the project. Hogan Park is in District 2. This week, Councilwoman Robin Poole and members of the Quality of Place Conservancy have written articles that appeared in the Reporter Telegram concerning the project. They showed differing opinions specifically about future costs of maintenance and operations. Norman stated he has planned for a community forum that is open to the public. The forum is expected to start at 6:30 p.m. November 15th at the MLK Center, 2100 Butternut Lane. Quote, in light of the recent events that have taken place, I deem it necessary that we all come together and answer questions from the community, Norman said. He said he wants, quote, all entities involved, including members of the Midland City Council, members of the Quality of Place Conservancy, City of Midland staff, and other community members. Norman said Hogan Park is a huge project for the City of Midland and, quote, we need to try and make it work out, end quote. Norman also said he picked November 15th to avoid this becoming a political event and that the park, and not a campaign, can take center stage. Two city seats will be on the November 8th ballot. Quote, hopefully, by that time, things will calm down a little bit, Norman said. Norman added he is on the fundraising committee for the Quality of Place Conservancy, and he hasn't seen anything objectionable by anything he has read on the Hogan Park project up to this point. Quote, I am on the fundraising committee for QOP. I was also elected by constituents of District 2 to be their council member, Norman said. I have a duty and responsibility to bring everyone together and work things out in a mature way, end quote. He again stressed he has requested all council members, some city staff, and those from the QOP to be in attendance. Perryman says Permian ready to meet challenge. Economist at MOTRAN annual meeting says infrastructure is vital to providing more oil and gas. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Despite calls to end use of fossil fuels and the rise of renewable energy, crude and natural gas will remain in demand globally for the foreseeable future. In fact, said economist Ray Perryman, global demand will increase almost 50% by the year 2050, compared with its 2020 baseline case, with production of both crude and natural gas increasing by more than 30% by 2050. Quote, assume renewable energy grows 350%, he said, while addressing the Midland-Odessa Transportation Alliance's annual meeting on Wednesday. Quote, that's feasible. Another scenario has renewable energy growing 700%. We still need more oil. We still need more natural gas, end quote. What is driving that demand is emerging nations seeking to lift their people out of poverty and improve their living standards and safety, he said. Of the hundreds of millions, if not billions, around the world who do not have electricity or reliable electricity, he said, quote, we have to give them a better life. We have to give them better survival. The only way is through energy. That's the reality of what's happening. What we're doing here in the Permian Basin is absolutely critical, end quote. Perryman told his audience Permian Basin producers are ready to meet the challenge, as shown over the last 50 years. In 1973, the year of the Arab oil embargo, he said, the Permian was producing about 2 million barrels of oil, and oil prices climbed 125%. But even though there were numerous drilling rigs running, he said Permian production fell, and it continued to fall annually until 2008. By 2008, Permian production had fallen to 750,000 barrels a day, and, if conditions hadn't changed, would be producing 200,000 barrels a day. Quote, now we're producing 5.2 million barrels of oil a day and 20.2 billion cubic feet of gas a day. What happened was technology, he said. Producers figured out how to not just get oil out of the rocks, but how to get the oil that was inside the rocks. And 10 to 15 years from now, operators could well have figured out how to get even more oil out of the ground. But to accomplish all that, Perryman said, quote, we need pipelines. We need to be able to ship that oil and gas. We also have to have roads. We need health care. We need to educate our workforce. It's all about having the infrastructure in place to do what we need to do to ensure we help people have better lives. The future of the world depends on what's happening here and getting support for what you do, he concluded. Motran's efforts to secure funding for road improvement projects, for pipeline projects, and even pushing back against Environmental Protection Agency notices of designating the Permian Basin as a non-attainment area for ozone are to improve living conditions for the region, said James Beecham, Motran president. Quote, it's about doing things to better the community, Beecham said of the agency, which also celebrated its 25th anniversary at the annual meeting. Quote, we need to push and continue to push for more projects, or 10 years from now, if we're not careful, we'll be further behind, end quote. Small group talks about attributes needed in new superintendent. Topics include social, emotional learning. One speaker doesn't want critical race theory taught. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. At a glance, what? Second public meeting about the Midland ISD's upcoming superintendent search. When? 6:30 tonight. Where? Legacy High School Auditorium. Midland ISD held the first of two public meetings about the district's upcoming superintendent search. The meetings are to allow community to provide feedback about the characteristics and qualifications it would like to see in the person who will replace Angelica Ramsey. The meeting held Tuesday evening at the Bowie Fine Arts Academy cafeteria attracted a sparse crowd, around 10 to 15 people, not affiliated with the district, were in attendance to provide input. There wasn't much talk Tuesday about improving academic outcomes, but three mentioned social and emotional learning. One was outspoken, saying she didn't want critical race theory pushed into the classroom and wanted the next superintendent to be from Texas, not a liberal state like Colorado or California, which is where Ramsey worked before coming to MISD in early 2021. Finding a superintendent who can appreciate West Texas or lives in the region was an oft-mentioned item by those who did show up and offer their perspectives. Heather Bredemus said her husband works at Midland Memorial Hospital, where people have been hired from out of town, and they leave after a short period of time. Quote, look at what educators we have here and promote them, she said. Another speaker stated, we want someone who will stay. Find someone local, and if we don't have someone now, we need to grow our own. There will be a second public meeting about what residents are looking for in Midland ISD's next superintendent. It is scheduled for 6:30 tonight at the Legacy High School Auditorium. The next board, which will be assembled for the first time following the November 8th elections, will select those candidates they want to interview and ultimately the lone finalist. Midland ISD officials have stated they would like the next superintendent in place by early January. Other attributes that those at Bowie talked about included someone who will support teachers focusing on old-school type of teaching, a superintendent who will fill vacancies with certified teachers, a person who will enforce goals and objectives that the board adopts, a leader who will stand up and speak out against those wanting to take the district, quote, down rapid trails, a person who will bring those educators in West Texas, but who are no longer in Midland, back into school buildings, a leader who builds off the positives Midland ISD experienced under Ramsey, someone who will bring discipline back to the classroom as teachers are losing their position of authority, and a person who keeps experienced teachers in the classrooms. Quote, teachers who have been in the classroom can make the material come alive, one speaker said. Young ones last 5 years. Lastly, a former coach mentioned that a lot goes into building a winning program. He asked, quote, what does winning look like for a superintendent? We need someone who takes pride in the results, end quote. Midland ISD is coming off its best year in terms of academic performance in around 20 years. Midland ISD had 6 A campuses and 7 B campuses, according to the Texas Education Agency. The combined 13 higher-performing campuses was 9 more than the last school year TEA handed out campus grades, 2018-2019. Early voting trails 2018 by more than 27%. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. The number of people voting so far during the early voting period trails 4 years ago. The Midland County Elections Office reports that 5,239 total ballots had been received through Tuesday. That included 2,258 from people who voted in person on Tuesday and another 652 ballots received in the mail. According to Reporter-Telegram Archives, the number of people who voted on the first 2 days of the early voting period in 2018 was 7,237. That means the decrease through 2 days this year is 27%. The 2018 election also featured statewide elections like governor and lieutenant governor. It also featured the race for U.S. Senate between Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke. Locally, there were city races, at-large council, a contested election for county judge, and MISD board races. 2018 was a banner year for turnout in a non-presidential election. The Midland County Elections Office reported 48% of the electorate voted in the November general election that year. Midland County also reported this week that the number of registered voters has increased from 84,500 in 2018 to 96,500 in 2022, an increase of 14%.
Good morning, this is Kim. I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, October 27th, 2022. Mother of alleged abuse victim takes the stand. The mother of a girl who was allegedly raped and sodomized by an Odessa man when she was 5 years old testified Wednesday. She didn't want to believe it had happened, but was convinced when a physical exam showed evidence of an assault. The woman who is not being named in order to protect the identity of the alleged victim spent a couple of hours on the stand in the 358th Ector County District Court. Wednesday was the second day of the trial of Dakota Lee Hoyt, 30. Hoyt is charged with three counts of aggravated sexual assault of a child, a first-degree felony, punishable by 5 to 99 years or life in prison. Assistant Ector County District Attorney Melissa Rain and Defense Attorney Scott Lay spent considerable time going over texts and emails the girl's mother and Hoyt exchanged in the days after authorities were called about the alleged abuse and a sexual assault nurse examiner at Medical Center Hospital found an abnormality in the girl's rectum. In text after text, Hoyt repeatedly begged the woman to have the girl examined a second time, erroneously stating the nurse was on Child Protective Services payroll. The woman said she refused because she didn't want to put her daughter through such an invasive procedure. Hoyt also repeatedly questioned why the woman's grandmother wasn't being investigated as a possible suspect, as she spent more time with the child than he had. Several times Hoyt asked the woman to have his back, and he also told her she didn't have to hand her phone over to authorities without a court order. If they ever try to talk to you, you can't just say, "I don't know." Hoyt said, "You've got to say, Mama coached her." The woman told Rain, it became obvious to her Hoyt was more interested in his well-being than her daughter's. She also testified she once caught Hoyt watching a pornography and masturbating under a blanket with all three of her children in the room. Under cross-examination from Lay, the woman acknowledged Hoyt actually did send her text messages inquiring about the welfare of the girl and her siblings. She also admitted her grandmother had been investigated a handful of times for allegedly abusing the alleged victim and her siblings. In fact, she admitted the alleged victim suffered a seizure when alone with her grandmother and was taken to the hospital where doctors thought she might have suffered a skull fracture. When re-questioned by Rain, however, the girl's mother said the children were never removed from the home they shared with her grandmother. The girl's mother also testified during Lay's cross-examination that she found sex toys in her grandmother's room, the room she shared with the alleged victim and her sister. The woman further conceded, the nurse who examined her daughter never told her the abnormality she saw in the girl's rectum could be caused by something other than being sodomized, including constipation. Lastly, the girl's mother agreed with Lay, it would make sense for somebody to repeatedly ask for a second examination to prove his innocence. Judge John Schrode is presiding over the trial. Council approves downtown projects. The Odessa City Council unanimously voted Tuesday night to enter an agreement with Sina Realty that will result in two downtown restaurants and a rooftop bar. Under the terms of the agreement, the city will deed property at 5th Street and Grant Avenue to Sina Realty. In exchange, Sina Realty will be required to make a $2.5 million investment into the lot, construct two restaurants within 30 months, and once in operation, add 25 new jobs to the existing 20 full-time positions they currently have. Fernando Rodriguez from Sina Realty said the existing El Sinaloense Mariscos and Bar will be located in a 150,000-square-foot space on the lot, but there will also be a 3,400-square-foot restaurant with a patio and a 2,100-square-foot rooftop bar. J.C. Penney once sat on the lot but remained vacant for 15 years, said Casey Hallmark, executive director of downtown Odessa. The building was hit by a car, boarded up, and was quite unsightly, she said. the city bought the property for just under $335,000 in 2016 and spent $178,000 demolishing the building, Hallmark said. The council also unanimously agreed to start selling water to the Greater Gardendale Supply Corporation. Odessa City Manager Michael Marrero said the company approached the city of Odessa a few years ago about the possibility of entering the same sort of agreement the city has with the Ector County Utility District for wholesale water. Under the terms of the agreement, the city will sell the water company at $4.01 for every 1,000 gallons, Marrero said. The company, which will continue using several wells for their primary source of water, projects its average daily demand to be 0.095 million gallons of water a day, Marrero said. What they're receiving represents less than 1% of the city's typical daily usage, Marrero said. The company will be responsible for any infrastructure costs, Marrero said. The initial contract will be for 30 years, but they can potentially extend it twice for 10 years each time, he said. Jim Wise, president of the corporation, thanked the council for its vote, saying, "I can't tell you how much this means for the residents of Gardendale." He said the corporation will self-fund a portion of the $4 million project, but expects that money will be reimbursed with the American Rescue Plan Act money awarded to them by the county once some federal hoops are gone through. Quick hits, get out and vote. Early voting for the November 8th general and the Ector County Utility District elections runs from through November 4th. Voters are welcome to call the elections office for location information. For Odessa, call 432-498-4030 and Midland, call 432-688-4890. Registered voters may also visit the webpage for early voting schedules, election day vote centers, and sample ballots. Ector, tinyurl.com/MRXN4YVD. Midland, tinyurl.com/36B5A3CT. Secretary of State, www.sos.state.tx.us. MC Cosmetology and Pink the Basin. The Midland College Cosmetology Program, Room 159, Technology Center, 3600 North Garfield Street, Midland, has scheduled a breast cancer awareness fundraiser from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays through October 31st. MC Cosmetology students will be offering pink hair extensions for $5, which includes a donation to Pink the Basin. Visit tinyurl.com/6HHVFW6K. Golf Tournament. The Odessa Lions Club has scheduled a golf tournament benefiting the Texas Lions Club today at Odessa Country Club, 1 Fairway Drive. Lunch will be at 11:30 a.m. and shotgun will start at 1 p.m. Registration form is available at tinyurl.com/4T3NZ3RJ. For more information, call Kelly Evans at 432-559-5170, email at kellywevans@gmail.com, or visit odessadtlions.org. Read to Felix. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled Read to Felix. Therapy Dog loves to hear stories from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. today in the Children's Department. Call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Parents, students invited to come sample ECISD meals. Ector County ISD Schools Nutrition is taking a new step in involving students and their families in the school menu process from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. today. ECISD will host a first-of-its-kind event for district parents and their children, a food show and exhibition at the Marriott Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. Visitors can sample foods from some of the biggest names in food service. As they taste what is on menus now, plus potential future items, admission is free for ECISD students and parents. Trunk or Treat. Greater Opportunities of the Permian Basin has scheduled a Trunk or Treat event 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. today at the Chafin Head Start Center, 1000 South Grant Avenue. The event will include a movie, trunk or treating, costume contest, no scary costumes, and more. Please arrive at least 15 minutes early if you wish to participate. For more information, call 432-337-4414 or visit tinyurl.com/2p8sp8dd. Power of the Purse. United Way of Midland will present a Power of the Purse shopping event from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. today at the Midland County Horseshoe, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland. The event will feature 8 rounds of bingo with multiple opportunities to win a designer bag, raffle for a high-end designer bag, shopping from locally owned businesses, dinner and dessert, and more. Visit tinyurl.com/3u6jrjje or tinyurl.com/43hvayk2. Halloween Fest. The City of Midland has scheduled a Halloween festival from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. today at the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center, 2300 Butternut Lane, Midland. There will be candy, games, and more. Visit tinyurl.com/AAA823UR. Idea Yukon Trunk or Treat. Idea Yukon has scheduled a trunk or treat from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. today in the Idea Yukon parking lot, 3300 East Yukon Road. Visit tinyurl.com/YCXNXV2C. Blue October. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 Midland, will present Blue October at 8 p.m. today. Doors open at 7 p.m. Visit tinyurl.com/YC7JWJYU. Pedestrian Bridge could be part of Vision 2030. As part of its Vision 2030 Plus initiative, Odessa College is exploring the possibility of a pedestrian bridge. It would go from the South Campus to the North Campus, Vice President of Administrative Services Ken Zartner said. The project is still in the planning stages. We've expanded a lot of our operations north. 10 straight years of record enrollment shows that we are bursting at the seams everywhere. We don't have a lot of ability to grow east or west because of the major highways. When you look at Andrews Highway and then you look at Kermit and those other sites, our growth is in kind of limited to what we do, Zartner said. If the project moves forward and it's feasible to afford, it would only take about 4 to 6 months because the span would be manufactured off-site and installed on a slow traffic day. The estimated cost is $1.5 million. The board approved an American Institute of Architects agreement for the bridge. Basically, an AIA agreement is an agreement that outlines the scope, the work, and the cost of a job, Zartner said. He added that OC is partnering with JSA Architects on the Vision 2030 Plus projects. The reason you want those agreements in the beginning is because if you don't, you're paying an hourly rate or a per project rate, so you want to understand what your dollar amount is going into a project, Zartner said. Completion of the Wood Health Sciences building will further compress parking opportunities on campus. At the current Health Sciences building near the Sports Center, there can be 200 cars in the lot at any point in the day. When the new Wood Health Sciences building opens, they are not going to have anywhere for employees to park. We're going to have to park across the street for one. As we continue to expand operations across the street, as we continue to move back and forth across the street, we need to create a safe way for employees, students, community members, visitors to transition, Zartner said. The traffic light that we have in front of our campus has been a great element of safety, but it still comes with risks. And when you're having several hundred people walking back and forth daily, you need some sort of safe gateway for them to cross. That's really the simple answer behind it, he added. Since they have 200 cars in front of the current HSB building, he is expecting 300 cars during the day in front of the new HSB. We just don't have the parking lot infrastructure to support that plus employees, especially during peak times, Zartner said. He added that the lot near the new Health Sciences building is where students from Odessa Collegiate Academy and Odessa Career and Technical Early College High School, OC Techs, usually parks. It's a mix of parking needs. It's a mix of expansion needs, and it's a mix of growth for Odessa College, Zartner said. The pedestrian bridge will be open air, but there will be safety rails and on-ramps to the bridge will be closed outside of college operating hours. Our design structure can be modified and changed as we explore things, he said. Zartner added there are still several things to work out, such as the bridge's height. To be honest, we don't even know if it's possible to have this project. We're still trying to explore that. We actually have a meeting today, October 26th, with the city and other project planners to start talking about some things, Zartner said. He added that they will continue to come back to the OC Board of Trustees with progress reports. It's just part of our growth. That's one of the benefits of growing to 8,000 plus students 2 years in a row. We will be at 10,000 before you know it. Then we'll be at 15,000, he said. At Tuesday night's board meeting, Zartner also updated the board on the health science building progress. He said the rains were good, but they slowed the project down a little bit. We have a few things that we are working on, but we're still on pace to have the project completed within the time frame that we first said, Zartner said. It is expected to be completed around spring 2024. The board also approved using Medical Center Health System contracts for purchasing items for the Health Sciences building. A lot of OC's vendors are on cooperatives that offer competitive prices and quality products. A lot of entities use similar purchasing methods. Zartner said they have huge contracts that can help OC purchase things like medical beds for the new building. So we want to partner on their buy board contracts to allow the best, most competitive pricing for our facility. We want top grade products. We want that facility to look like medical center, to feel like medical center, and we want to get medical center pricings as well when we're purchasing these products and these beds, Zartner said. OC has similar arrangements to purchase everything from computers to furniture. There are some sole source items that they can't get anywhere else, but they still make sure there are no other competitors in the market to ensure they are responsible with taxpayer dollars, he said. The James C. Gress track is still on pace to open in spring 2024. Zartner said bids close Tuesday, October 27th. That's a big day for us. Then the architects, JSA, will evaluate those bids and we will hopefully select a general contractor within the next few weeks. We may even potentially have a special board meeting just to approve that general contractor, Zartner said. We anticipate we won't know until we see those bids. Anticipate that to be about a 12-13 month project, Let's say we had the bidder approved in November and they kick off in December. It's spring 2024 for completion of that track as well, Zartner said. The downtown project completion date is April 7th, but Zartner said it is ahead of schedule, so it might be a little earlier. Zartner added that they are building a construction school in part of Sedate Hall that will be a machine shop. We're still remodeling, he said. We're not quite done yet, but we've cleared out the machine shop area. We're putting in different things to house an array of construction programs. They may build everything from tiny houses to HVAC and plumbing and framing, all the different trades to support our region and our community. That should be done within the next couple of months as well. As if there are enough room for everything, Zartner said there isn't. One of the cool things that I've seen in other places is they use outside to their advantage. We have this big double bay door system out there. We open that up. I'm going to fence that and put some cool graphics to show it's a construction school so people can build outside. We're so limited in space. That's why we're building four stories here, to try to explore places we didn't think we could fit something in before, Zartner said. PSP PRSC distributes $3.17 million of life-saving equipment. The Permian Strategic Partnership and the Permian Road Safety Coalition announced on Tuesday it held a kickoff event for the second round of its collaborative First Responder Life-Saving Equipment Initiative. Previously, PSP and PRSC announced this $3.17 million donation of life-saving equipment fund, life-saving equipment, to first responders in 26 counties across West Texas and Southeast New Mexico. This partnership builds upon the first round of the initiative, which was previously funded by the PSP in 2021 with a $1.1 million donation. The event held at the Midland Fire Department Training Center included remarks from PSP CEO Tracy Bentley, PRSC Executive Director Ellen K. Ramsey, ConocoPhillips Lower 48 HSE Manager Vanessa Rollins, and Midland Fire Department Chief Mike Blumenauer were also in attendance. Additionally, the event held a live demonstration of the compressed air foam system extinguishing a live fire. The CAF system can be quickly deployed by one first on-scene responder in order to prevent vehicle fires or small brush fires from becoming larger wildfires, a key need identified by many Permian Basin fire departments. The CAF was included in the equipment package and demonstrated the immediate impact these tools have in time of urgent need. The PSP is honored to continue supporting our first responder and law enforcement partners across the entire region through a new round of funding for this initiative. Tracy Bentley, President and CEO of the Permian Strategic Partnership, stated in the press release, "Importantly, the second phase nearly triples the amount of our prior support and will expand our reach across the Permian Basin while strategically placing equipment and tools where they are most needed. First responders play a key role in improving road safety across the Permian Basin," Ellen K. Ramsey, Executive Director of the Permian Road Safety Coalition, stated in the press release. "It is an honor to work closely with them and with the tremendous support from PSP providing this life-saving equipment to the benefit of the entire Permian Basin. Specific life-saving equipment needs were identified through close collaborations with Permian Basin first responders. The PSP funding will provide a base-level equipment kit for 82 first responder departments with customized equipment and gear to accommodate unique needs that vary across the Permian Basin. This equipment will include medical supply kits, fire extinguishers, wildfire and structure fire protective clothing, gas monitors, mobile lighting tools, and rescue helicopter landing zone kits. First responding agencies, many of whom are staffed by volunteers, have limited infrastructure and resources designed only to respond to local jurisdictions with small populations, less than 10,000. It is not unusual to see responders travel over an hour by road to respond to calls of assistance. This life-saving equipment will allow first responders to aid victims and prevent fatalities in otherwise survivable crashes while waiting for additional help to arrive on the scene. First responder agencies receiving this equipment are located in the Texas counties of Andrews, Borden, Brewster, Crane, Culberson, Dawson, Ector, Gaines, Glasscock, Howard, Jeff, Davis, Loving, Martin, Midland, Pecos, Presidio, Reagan, Reeves, Terrell, Upton, Ward, Winkler, and Yoakum, and the New Mexico counties of Eddy, Lee, and Chavez. This equipment will be distributed by a series of events across the Permian Basin in November and December. Afraid of needles, China using inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. The Chinese city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine on Wednesday in what appears to be a world first. The vaccine, a mist that is sucked in through the mouth, is being offered for free as a booster dose for previously vaccinated people, according to an announcement on an official city social media account. Scientists hope that such needle-free vaccines will make vaccination more accessible in countries with fragile health systems because they are easier to administer. They also may persuade people who don't like getting a shot in the arm to get inoculated. China wants more people to get booster shots before it relaxes strict pandemic restrictions that are holding back the economy and are increasingly out of sync with the rest of the world. As of mid-October, 90% of Chinese were fully vaccinated and 57% had received a booster shot. A video posted by an online Chinese state media outlet showed people at a community health center sticking the short nozzle of a translucent white cup into their mouth. The accompanying text said that after slowly inhaling, people hold their breath for 5 seconds, with the entire procedure completed in 20 seconds. "It's like drinking a cup of milk tea," one Shanghai resident said in the video. "When I breathe it in, it tasted a bit sweet." The effectiveness of non-needle vaccines has not been fully explored. Chinese regulators approved the inhalable one in September, but only as a booster shot after studies showed it triggered an immune system response in people who had previously received 2 shots of a different Chinese vaccine. A vaccine taken as mist could fend off the virus before it reaches the rest of the respiratory system, though that would depend on the size of the droplets, one expert said. Larger droplets would train defenses in parts of the mouth and throat, while smaller ones would travel further into the body, said Dr. Vinita Ball, an immunologist in India. The inhalable vaccine was developed by Chinese biopharmaceutical company CanSino Biologics Incorporated as an aerosol version of the company's one-shot adenovirus vaccine, which uses a relatively harmless cold virus. The traditional one-shot vaccine has been approved for use in more than 10 markets, including China, Hungary, Pakistan, Malaysia, Argentina, and Mexico. The inhaled version has received a go-ahead for clinical trials in Malaysia, a Malaysian media report said last month. Regulators in India have approved a nasal vaccine, another needle-free approach, but it has yet to be rolled out. The vaccine developed in the U.S. and licensed in Indian vaccine maker Bharat Biotech is squirted in the nose, About a dozen nasal vaccines have been tested globally, according to the World Health Organization. Death notice for Thursday, October 27th. Geronimo Sonny Munguia Jr., 74, of Odessa, died Thursday, October 20th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Saturday, October 29th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Pastor Larry Hood is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, October 27th, 2022. Community news. Micro Market Halloween Beer Crawl is Saturday by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Planning the ultimate adult-friendly party, Micro Market owners Seth and Hannah Stroon and Lauren and Brian Johnston partnered with 12 local sippin' hotspots. Covering all areas of the tall city, drink fanatics can try new and classic treats from some of their favorite establishments. Running from 4 to 11 p.m. Saturday, Lauren Johnston told the Reporter Telegram, because a driving service will not be provided to the bars outside of downtown walking distance, the crew decided to add more time to the event. We wanted to be mindful of people rehydrating, not drinking and driving, and eating in between stops, Johnston explained. We highly recommend a designated driver or Uber. Since many bars will still be operating their normal business hours, bar crawl attendees need to purchase a wristband in order to receive specials and certain drinks. Ticket prices run at $20 if bought before Saturday at bit.ly/3F9Y20E. If patrons decide to wait until Saturday, the price increases to $30 and can only be bought at the door of certain hangouts. The wristband price does not include individual prices of drinks at each bar. When asked about the goal of the crawl, Johnston harped on the community bond. It's important to have each other, and truly no one understands bar and restaurant life like other bars and restaurants, Johnston said. We live by that mentality and want to help other businesses just strive to be that way with their neighboring businesses. The following bars will be participating in Saturday's shindig. Pi Social, 203 West Wall, Suite 104. $8 House Margaritas, Ranch Water, Chilton, and Gold Rush, $5 Domestic and Draft Beer. Low Street Books, 201 West Wall, Suite 102. $4 Michelob Ultra, Sangria, and Bloody Bellini. Buffalo Nickel, 216 North Main Street, $5 Chillington, Wretched Water, and Howling Mule. Bourbon Street, 120 North Main, $5 Shelf, $3 Beer, Wells, and Froze. Buffalo Joe's, 106 South A, $4 Dos Equis, $3 Michelob Ultra, Fireballs, $2.50 Wells, discounted shots. The Blue Door, 4610 North Garfield, D, number 1C. $6, The Drunken Pumpkin and The Witching Hour. Eccentric Brewing Company, 1402 Cotton Flat Road, $2 off pints. The Reserve, 117 West Wall, $5 Witch's Brew. Tall City Brewery, 3303 West Golf Course. $5 Flagships, Haboob Hefenweizen 5-Hour Drive Honey Blonde Ale, Haze Y'all Hazy IPA, Bird Lady American Pale Ale, Hop Up Camper IPA, 2 Degrees of Separation American Amber, Iron Orchard Stout. Texas Sun Winery, 3415 North Loop 250, number 305, 20% off all wine and food. Rooster's Backyard, 6221 FM 307. $25 beer buckets, comes with 6. $7 select shots. Sip House, 303 West Wall. $8 Horror House, $3 off beer. Adult-friendly Halloween activities. Looking for a place to hang up your brooms and hats, surrounded by fellow ghouls and goblins? The Tall City expects no shortage of Halloween-themed parties, shindigs, drinks, and gatherings. From the north to the south and the east to the west, every Monster Mash in Midlander can enjoy a themed night or nights out on the town. Some events may require a cover charge at the door, so plan accordingly. Thursday. Want to test that horror movie knowledge? The Blue Doors October Trivia Night features a scary movie theme. With a range of movies filling the questions, every team member earns a chance to be the star. Prizes such as gift cards and other luxuries will be awarded to the top 3 teams. To reserve a spot, direct message The Blue Door at www.instagram.com/the_blue_door_. Guessing starts at 7 p.m. at 4610 North Garfield, D, number 1C. For those trying to get in a fun new workout, Tall City Brewing Company's 5K costume run checks the box. Join the Midland Run crew for an early evening jog around town and earn a prize for being the best dressed. Shoes hit the pavement at 6:30 p.m., 3303 West Golf Course. Friday. Hosting a Halloween Monster Bash, Little Woodrow's brings a night of spirits and spells, thrills and chills, through spooky drink specials and a costume party. Running from open to close, the chilling celebration starts at 11 a.m. and ends at 2 a.m. at 3415 North Loop 250, Building 1. The Black Flame Candle Bash, hosted by Pride Center West Texas, takes over the Midland Beer Garden. Packed with dancing, good drinks, and a fun time, the Candle Bash takes from Halloween classic Hocus Pocus, providing all things witching hour. Wicks get lit at 9 p.m. and blown out at 1 a.m. Tickets available at https://bit.ly/3nb6tf3 77112 West Highway 80. Saturday, lining Centennial Park. Pi Social kicks off the day with a family-friendly music moment from 1 to 4 p.m. before picking up the night at 7:30 p.m. Guests can expect a photo booth, costume contest, yummy bites and sips, and a good old time. 203 West Wall, Suite 104. Also downtown, Sip House prepares a night of live music, drink specials, and costume contests. Some of its Halloween drinks include Horror House, a Cosmo-esque blood-colored thirst quencher topped with a gummy eyeball. Zombie Juice, paired with Hulk colored rock candy and tequila, jalapeno, and orange juice concoction, Jap-O-Lantern. Runs from 4 p.m. to 1 a.m. at 303 West Wall in the basement. An annual tradition, the karaoke contest at the Midland Beer Garden will conclude with cash prizes for first, second, and third place winners. Bring your best fit and best voice. Singing starts at 9 p.m. at 7112 West Highway 80. Woody's Hideaway will host a monster bash with a costume contest, drink specials, and more. Owned by the same crew as Little Woodrow's, Midlanders can get their fill two nights running. The night starts at noon and ends at 2 a.m., 5701 Starboard Drive, number 5. Capping off their week-long bill, Tall City Brewing Company will host the Booze Costume Party from noon to 10 p.m. A costume contest will begin at 8 p.m., and the release of their new themed drinks, PSL Cream Ale and Ecto Cooler Ale, can be celebrated all day long at 3303 West Golf Course. Besides participating in the Micro Market Beer Crawl, Eccentric Brewing Company will also entertain guests with Comedy Night, a live monster mix from DJ Mikey Ja, and a costume contest with prizes. The craziness runs all day, starting at the business's open at 1 p.m., 1402 Cotton Flat Road. For its eclectic Halloween bash, the destination will host local favorites, Locomotive, for a night of hip-swinging tunes and scary thrills. Chilaquiles y Mas food truck will be there on site and ready to serve along the venue's bar. 7 p.m. to midnight at 1705 West Industrial. All weekend long, the staff at the bar will be dressed in costumes, serving delicious themed drinks. Dressed up, customers earn the chance of winning a gift card just by walking through the door. 606 West Missouri. Buffalo Nickel created a new beer available for a limited time only. The Almond Joy beer, a sexy beach coconut seltzer layered with Guinness, combines sweet with bitter, creating the best mix for the sinister holiday. 216 North Main. Micro Market will host a beer crawl featuring many neighborhood hotspots. For more information, please see the Reporter Telegram's Fast Fact Sheet. Morgan Taylor Thomas.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.